Blog Talk Radio.
Great Friday. My name is Sister Kimberly Silas, and welcome to Your Health is Your Wealth. Today is Friday, October the 6th, 2017, and it is my personal pleasure to invite each and every one of you to Your Health is Your Wealth. Now, before we go into today's segment, I just want to have an outgoing pour of open prayer and humble regard to all of those impacted by the aftermath of our hurricane scare across our world, and also for the families impacted by the unfortunate massacre that took place over the week in Las Vegas. We aren't responsible for the devastation that is going on around us. However, as a community of believers, we can most certainly come together in agreement that these things can be corrected through love, through commitment, through community. And that almost brings us into today's segment. But before we get started, I just want to read something that I opened up on today from my personal meditative reflection. And it comes from Daily Thoughts from the Hill. Today being October 6th, 2017, it opens by saying, I desire the best. I desire the best. I desire the best. There are levels of choices, good, better, and best. I desire the best. I desire to excel. This desire, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Spirit urges me to seek and maintain a higher consciousness. My desire comes from my innermost being. I desire to attain the goodness and glory that God has promised. I employ prayer, meditation, and right mindfulness to maintain the desires of my heart. It is not the things of the world that enhance my desires. It is the spiritual qualities that catapult me into my desires. Unconditional love, understanding, faith, strength, and imagination are my cornerstones as I attain my desires while doing my best. Jesus told his disciples, "Greater things than this you will do." My underlying inspiration is to always do greater things. Thank you, zeal, in me, through me, as me, around me, through the Christ within, and so it is. And this particular meditation comes from 1 Corinthians 14 and 1. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts above all that you may prophesy. And I want to touch back very quickly, and it says, it is not the things of the world that enhance my desires. It is the spiritual quality that catapult me into my desires. Unconditional love, understanding, faith, strength, and imagination are the cornerstones as I attain my desires while doing my best. That is so incredibly true to heart. And I've often spoke here at the Your Health is Your Wealth platform. I'm an overcomer of obesity. I've lost 160 pounds. I don't do everything perfect, but I practice a regimen that is all spiritually based. None of the accomplishments that I have made can be accredited to anything other than me making a conscious, heartfelt decision to call on the power of God to just deliver me through. And when I sincerely cried out for help. Every blessing that I have received has been spiritual in nature. Now, yes, it shows up in the physical realm, and it appears as though I'm just one of those strong-minded, fine-tuned individuals that can make things happen just by snapping my fingers, but that is not the case. The cornerstone of my success is a spiritual consciousness, expanding my consciousness through study, through prayer, through meditation, through interaction with like-minded people. And because of that, I am consistently in right alignment to not only receive new blessings, but to be a blessing to others. And for that, I'm truly grateful. Let's jump into today's topic. Today, we're talking about mental health. And I've had a little reluctance reluctance on how to move into this particular topic by not wanting to offend anyone. And I'll tell you how I got to this point. Some months back, I was watching a local public broadcasting segment, and the topic was mental illness is as common as a cold. And I thought that was egregious. I said, how dare these people put all of us in a bucket of those suffering from mental illness? It cannot be that many people. The segment was very, very, very interesting, and they sought the expertise of the science and medical profession, and there were numerous doctors that agreed to that statement, and it just intrigued me to study more on this opportunity. And I have found that it sounds extremely inaccurate and offensive to a great many people. However, according to NAMI, N-A-M-I, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, approximately 1 in 25 adults in the United States alone, which is 9.8 million, or 40% of the population, experience a serious mental illness in a given year that substantially interferes with or limits one or more of their major life activities. And approximately 1 in 5 youth ages 13 to 18, which is 21.4% of our children, experience a severe mental disorder at some point during their life. Now, these statistics to me were staggering, and it just kept opening one page after another, and it left me feeling as though I am empowered to seek prevention rather than a cure. Once you have been diagnosed with many illness or an advanced stage of many mental illness, quite oftenly they want to find our population either institutionalized or heavily medicated. That does not seem like a viable option for me, and it's most certainly not something that I would wish on the loved ones or my surrounding community. How can we as a people overcome these staggering numbers being impacted by mental illness throughout our lives? And once diagnosed, how is it treatable? So I began dwelling into the preventive and the curable. Mental health problems, or the symptoms, causes, and effects, occurs in such a broad range of disorders that I only focus on the basics. But the common characteristics is that they all impact the affected person's ability or personality through processes or social interactions. Now, processes and social interactions, it would be easily diagnosable if you were to run into somebody randomly ranting and speaking to themselves or acting in an odd, outlandish behavior. The first thing we would consider is that this person has some mental health challenges. Someone drinking or using drugs into excess, laying out on the ground, it would be easily for us to diagnose or assume that this person suffered from grave emotional and mental disorders. However, the truth of the matter is they can be extremely difficult to clearly diagnose Unlike a physical illness such as a cold, you start sneezing, your eyes watering, your nose running, it would be easily diagnosable that you have a cold or a similar form of that virus. But mental illness doesn't work that way. Now, I have a great deal of respect for the medical and the science and the research studies, articles, and publications that I ran across. I have no reason to doubt. But it said that a state of satisfactory, for lack of a better word, we're going to use satisfactory. A satisfactory mental health is defined as a state of well-being in which every individual, now these are bullet points that we'll come back through over the show, but it says that every individual realizes his or her own potential. Every individual can cope with the normal stresses of life. Every individual can work productively and fruitfully, and every individual is able to make a contribution to his or to her community. Now, with that being said, we're going to dig deep off into the first one, realizing his or her own potential, the ability to recognize or realize your individual potential would be a sign of satisfactory mental health. And in my journey or my personal experience, there were a number of things that stood out. Now, these weren't necessarily at the top of the list. However, they were the ones that impacted me the most, so I kind of staggered them according to what I am most familiar with. But believe it or not, at the very top of the list in realizing his or her own potential was diet, hydration, and exercise. Diet, hydration, and exercise. I have said this from the beginning of the show in expanding your consciousness and developing new habits. One of the most fundamental basics of my success has been recognizing the need to have a stabilized diet, and stabilized basically means knowing what you're inputting into your body or having a considerable basic knowledge. We don't know every chemical, every product, every garden that the fruits and vegetables are grown in, but to have a basic and clear understanding of what type of foods am I eating and am I refraining from a significant amount of processed foods. Diet, hydration, and exercise. Hydration merely means inputting aqua into the body, not coffee, not tea, not fruit juice, not punch, not Coca-Cola, no other beverage other than water. Now, can you have additional beverages? Absolutely, you may. What hydration means is that the body is substantially made of water. And in order to keep it cleansed and operable at its optimal performance, it is strongly suggested that you include water as a staple in your daily intake. That's all that means, diet, hydration, and exercise. Moving into the exercise piece, I had to learn, and this is something that I am constantly in reminding myself of, that exercise is much more than a mechanism or a tool to lose weight. Once you understand what exercise does to the body, it'll make it so much easier for you to regiment yourself and to include this into your daily activities. But I'll give you just a brief overview. The brain is the main source sensor of the body. It sends all the signals needed to make your heart pump, your blood flow, your eyelashes bat, your ability to speak, to move your limbs. The brain is that source component. And that brain sends signals and enzymes throughout the body on a regular basis. And those enzymes and signals determine how well you operate. When you exercise, there are enzymes. The body secretes a natural enzyme that sends harmony, healing, energy. enthusiasm throughout the body. It sends signals to every organ in your body, and it tells your body how to act, how to respond, and how to maintain. So once you realize that 20 minutes of exercise, if you only do it once a day, that's great. But if you can learn to incorporate 20 minutes worth of rigorous exercise 3 times per day, those enzymes are in constant overflow. They are working at optimal performance, and it just does the body good. Not only does your natural stem scent know to operate at optimal performance, but you're adding on top of that extra activity, a jump start to your metabolism. It makes your hair grow, your skin glow, and every organ to operate at pristine condition. So when I learned that exercise was much, much more than just the tool or mechanism used to lose weight, and I began to look at it as a form of life source, it makes so much more sense, and it makes you feel better. In reading these articles and publications, I began to find that, hey, it's much more for me. It's much more impacting and beneficial than losing weight. I have the ability to maintain a sound, solid state of mind simply by choosing better foods, incorporating hydration into my body, and just a minimal amount of exercise. You don't have to join a gym. You don't have to do anything rigorous or uncomfortable to the body. It can be breathing exercises. It can be stretching. It can be quiet meditation. But what is suggested is that you find a happy norm, a happy state of normalcy that incorporates exercise in the body. One of the most common things I like doing is cleaning to music. I love to clean my house to music. It just makes all the sense in the world to me to be more excited about exercising. And I clean my house to music. And I move around, I dance around, I sing to myself. And within an hour, I've not only gotten in my recommended 20 minutes of exercise, but I've exceeded that. And I've accomplished 2 things at one time, daily regimen and exercise. So that's a good thing. Realizing his or her own potential, nurturing your talents and gifts. Now, it's for those just now coming on the show, today we're talking about mental illness is as common as the common cold. And in research and study, it has stated that mental health, a satisfactory or a healthy mental health, is defined as a state of being in which every individual, and one of the highlights, realizes his or her own potential. So we're moving from diet, hydration, and exercise into nurturing your talents and gifts. How often are we doing that? No matter whether you like to do landscaping, cooking, cleaning, those are things that each and every one of us has individual talents, interests, and gifts. And nobody can determine what your ultimate interest, talent, and gift is other than you. So are you taking the time to nurture those talents and gifts? Anything other than, and I know this sounds egregious and a little offensive, anything other than you nurturing, the alternative would be suppressing your talents and gifts, would be a form or a cornerstone of a mental setback. There should be no hindrance in you living the best life possible and doing those things that bring you the greatest joy. The second or the third would be processing thoughts through prayer, meditation, reading, and writing. How often are we doing that? And if we are, great. I find that me personally, prayer for me is a form of meditation. I don't necessarily have to have a quiet room or a sanctuary. I literally go into meditation consistently throughout the day because it's an opportunity for me to share my thoughts you know, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, and also reading and writing. What are you reading? What type of materials are you reading? And are you writing those thoughts on a regular basis? We have a caller on the line ending in 4326. Would you like to step in?
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Dunlap. I just had just turned into to the radio broadcast, so I'm just wanting to enjoy what is being said right now. I hate to be multitasking, but I'm here.
Thank you, Dr. Dunlap, and you are most certainly the multitask. Actually, we mentioned that in today's segment about the ability to maintain successfully. Today's segment is about here on Your Health is Your Wealth, and it stemmed from a segment that I participated or I saw. And one of the doctors on the show said mental illness is as common as a common cold. And I thought that was very offensive. My original response or experience was that that's not right. But I went on, I followed the show. It was very, very interesting. And later on, I went on and I began following the research from NAMI. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And they were speaking about 9.8 million, I think it's 9.8 million Americans, adults, as well as 21.4% of children ages 13 through 18 experience challenges with mental health throughout their life or mental illness. And it went on to say that a satisfactory state of mental health consists of realizing his or her own potential and moving into coping with normal stresses of life, which was one of the most impacting I found. The latter statement under realizing his or her own potential was sharing the thoughts with your network or support of like-minded people. If you are thinking something, if you have thought processes that you're not sharing with someone, they begin to manifest into a state of reality. It may only be real to you, but if you don't share with other people to get feedback and people can share their personal life experiences, what will happen is you will begin believing from your own personal paramount, which is basically just your state of understanding, your state of perception. And it sometimes can cause very unhealthy belief systems. And therefore, it will impact the way that you interact in society differently. But I was excited about if an individual can cope with the normal stresses of life. This was a big one for me. How are we coping? And the normal stresses consist of work, family life and dynamic, meeting deadlines, finances. And I was like, okay, how many of us really, 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 really like our job? And we go to work on a day-to-day basis as a means to pay bills and to be self-sufficient and independently healthy, independently self-sufficient. But coping with the stresses surrounding a job that you don't like, when I started considering all of the dynamic that goes into handling normal stresses of life, it became more clear how mental illness plays a part in that. To find another job would definitely take, or shall I say, to find a job in which you like, a job in that which is going to supply you enough financially to meet your monthly obligations and to care for your family. It takes a great deal of faith, execution, research. There's going to have to be some work that goes into doing that. So quite often it seems as though the work that it takes to obtain a job that will satisfy us spiritually, emotionally, and physically is so taxing that we choose to stay in work-related instances that don't fulfill us financially, spiritually, intellectually. We just stay because it's a safe place. Safe not necessarily meaning comfortable, but just safe is in I have a job, so I'm going to stay here. So work really hit home for me because it says, can you cope with the normal stresses of work when the job you're doing is not to your personal satisfaction? From my personal experience, it takes a very humble approach. It takes a constant posture of prayer and meditation, because I'm sure that there are numbers of us that can identify with going into a workplace where we don't feel valued, appreciated, or monetarily rewarded for the work that we do. And maintaining a healthy state of being in that sense would mean that I'm not disgruntled with my colleagues or leadership. I am kind and compassionate and friendly to those people that I come in contact with. I don't let my personal issues or lack of belief impact the way I do my job or the way I treat people. And in doing that on a regular basis, it is a constant reminder that the responsibility, the accountability, and the must-do to follow your heart's dreams is totally up to you. No one's going to come to you in the workplace, they may, and say, hey, I recognize what you're doing. I recognize what you're trying to accomplish, and here's $20,000 more on your annual salary. It's not going to happen. So when it comes to work-related issues, that's just something, I guess I could say that's your cross to bear. That's our cross to bear. You just have to keep a regular state of humility, empathy, and compassion, and just keep striving to be the best you possible. And to not be afraid to step out on those personal endeavors that you feel as though will benefit you the most or catapult you into another state of being. Another one, the second bullet down, was family life and dynamic. Wow. This one just kind of took my breath away. There was something, it was said recently, and it's said quite often, you can't choose your biological lineage, but you can choose your family or to something to that degree. And quite often you have biological lineage. Maybe you come from a home of separation. Maybe you and your siblings aren't close. Maybe you're an only child and you hope for a bigger family. Whatever the case may be, maybe you desire children and you don't have children. Whatever your family dynamic looks like, there is always going to be something in that dynamic that makes you desire more or perhaps have hoped for something different. And I know in my family dynamic, I am the youngest of five siblings. I've never been married, and I don't biologically have children of my own. I made a decision some years ago, and I don't even think I had the knowledge base to make this decision. I was acting out of love. But I decided that because I don't biologically have children does not make me inadequate or insignificant. But God has blessed me, and I think, and I hate to call names, but I'm going to try this anyway. I know that I have seven biological nieces and nephews. That's correct, I think. I have seven biological nieces and nephews. But to date, I have 27 godchildren. 27. These are people who are not biologically related to me, who God has blessed me with an opportunity to share in parental obligations, to share in the nurturing of their children, who love me as though we have always been family. And this decision or these life experiences was well before I came across this article on family life dynamic in relation to mental illness. But I can totally identify with how the lack of biological children would be hurtful to me if I chose to look at it from a position of lack and loss versus a position of abundance. And with those children come aunts, uncles, godparents, grandparents. It's just a family. It's just a huge village of people that are not, again, biologically related to me, but it's people that have received me. Now, in respect to mental illness, could I allow that to suffocate me or make me feel less than? Absolutely. The thought of reflecting on loss versus reality and abundance, yeah, it can be overwhelming. So I can identify with anybody struggling in that area, and I just encourage you to look at the alternative, because there's always something other than what we actually meeting deadlines, Dr. Dunlap. Oh, my goodness. No call, no show. Tardiness. Making excuses for not being available. Isolation. And shutting people out. I had a conversation on yesterday, Wednesday and Thursday, actually, about removing those people from your life that don't have your best interest at heart. And I remember expressing that it feels so uncomfortable for me to not operate in love. How do you tell somebody, I no longer desire your presence. I don't feel as though this is a healthy state of being. And I know on paper you can write it out and it comes out crystal clear. But when you are actually held accountable for executing that task, it feels so incredibly uncomfortable when you have to tell someone that you love and that your behavior is detrimental to me, to the community, to yourself, and I desire not to be a part. And that has really, really been difficult for me to do. I mean, I share with this person ghetto princes. If I were relying on my ghetto princes, you know, I wouldn't have no problem putting my hand on my hip and rolling my neck and spitting my gum and letting you know to get up off of me. But because I chose to live something different and do something different, these measures take practice for me. And it's a state of anxiety when you are telling people that I desire the healthiest state of consciousness possible. And anything that hinders me from doing that is unwelcome. That's it. I just answered my own question. But for executing that, it has been uncomfortable for me. And I know that in respect to mental illness, it draws back on sharing thoughts and with your network and supported like-minded people. If everybody, my mother always says 50 million monkeys can't be wrong about bananas. If everybody that loves me is telling me the same thing, then 50 million monkeys cannot be wrong about bananas. I'm just going to have to brave up and pray up and learn to execute my truth outwardly. It's not a healthy state of being to bring havoc and chaos into the lives of people that desire a more harmonious state of being. And if it hurts your feelings, I'd rather it hurt your feelings and save your life versus me sacrificing your feelings and you end up not doing well. I want to share something, Dr. Dunlap, if you have a free moment. Coping with the normal stresses of life, they had finances was like number four on the list. Finances. Coping with the normal stresses of life when it comes to finances. And I thought about my mentor, my coach, my leadership, Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr., who is the mastermind behind the PRF table Oh, my God, callers, you must participate in the PRF table. And it definitely gives us a spiritual perspective on our responsibility and accountability on how to be proactive in respect to our possessions, resources, and finances. It's just that simple. It's not going to get better if we continue to ignore it. So when I was looking at this finance segment in respect to mental health, Dr. Dunlap was the first person that came to mind because his life's mission has been to educate us on betterment, self-empowerment and betterment. And Dr. Dunlap, I'm going to share this story again, and you can chime in if you like, but the mental illness impacted me as such. I'm single, no children, and no husband, and have always maintained some form of employment. And during this season of my life, I went and applied for a credit application, and they denied me. And I asked the person, why am I being denied? And they said, I don't owe anybody. And they said, well, that's why. You don't have any established credit. There's nothing on your credit report. And I said, well, what do I do? And they said, well, you can take out this small loan, and if you pay it back every month, every 30 days, make a payment, and in 6 months, you will have an established credit history. So I started that process, I guess, in the early to mid-90s. And by 2000, I was credit card rich. I could sign my name on anything every time, and I literally got high. Hear me, callers. I became euphoric every time I was called to either apply for credit or to put my name on the dotted line along with my Social Security number, because I knew what they were going to find. They were going to find 20 accounts, all of them in the green. Every last one of them paid on time, paid on time, paid on time, paid on time. Out of ignorance, Dr. Dunlap, I became credit card rich, but finances poor. I wasn't making the money that it appeared as though I was making. So, but because my credit was so good, people kept giving it to me. You know, these credit card agencies, they look for people. They prey on people like me. And they go, oh, here's this person over here. She pays every month on time. She pays all of the interest. And we're going to make $250 off of this $1,200 that she's going to run up on her Macy's account. And I didn't know it was a business, but credit cards are the biggest business in the world, credit cards. Not the products we buy with the credit cards. The credit cards themselves are the number one business in the world. That's why every fly-by-night company is sending out all of these pre-approved credit card applications, because they know that you're going to pay 110% or 122.7% on everything that you get. But anyway, when I was reading this publication on credit card debt is one of the number one signs of mental illness, I said, oh, my God, it is as common as the common cold. Because once you have been educated or once you've made it through credit card debt and you still choose to live above your means and run the credit card back up again voluntarily, it's a form of mental illness. If nothing else, it's a season of fiscal irresponsibility, or perhaps a season of fiscal ignorance. But it's a form of mental illness. You've got to get it corrected. And I remember one time, Dr. Dunlap, my mother said, "Kimberly, give me," and I was well into my 20s. She said, "Give me those credit cards, and I mean right now." And I was grown, I thought. I was living in my own home, and I was offended that she was demanding I give her my credit card so she could stop my spending. And I fought her, and I said, "Nope, I won't do it. I work every day. I pay my own bills. I can do this." What my mother was trying to do in that moment was intervene. She was trying to protect me from my own devices. She was trying to protect me from being of endangerment to myself, and I didn't get it back then. I'm sure I probably cleared my way through that credit card episode because that was back in the late 90s. But here we are in 2017, and if anything, the credit card industry has become much more expansive. And when I tell people and I share with my colleagues and friends that excessive use of credit cards is a form of mental illness, I am consistently shunned. But it's not. It's the truth. This is something that can be corrected. It's something that it takes a lot of discipline. You only should use them when you absolutely have to in the form of an emergency. And if you have more than one small credit card, it's a sign that you're not familiar with how credit works because you don't need all those cards. You need one major card with a substantial balance on it, maybe two, to help you in the event of a life crisis, not as a method to shop with and buy things that ordinarily you wouldn't be able to afford. So that's my testimony about being credit card rich and finance poor, and an example of how mental illness is prevalent and is common as the common cold. I don't know. I'm praying I'm making sense, but that's how I took that because they had numerous examples of people very similar to me that were educated either through bankruptcy or credit counseling or through their finance institution or an investment banker that have a history and a career in finances. And they train these people and coach and educate them on what credit cards are, a business, how that business preys on people such as myself to make money, and how we can use the credit cards as privilege and not a lifestyle. And anything other than that, it is like a gambling addiction or a drug addiction. You're constantly doing the same thing, expecting different results. And it is as common as a cold because people do this every day. All day, every day, and just choose to live in a season of lack. So that's what I have to say about that credit card segment and the finance segment, shall I say.
Well, one of the things that's interesting and I pray that the listeners catch sight of is that there's several different components to why people deal with certain things. And so if we're taking the conversation or as you're taking the conversation from discussing this from a mental health standpoint, and I am no clinician, so I can't give you all the ins and outs, but I can just tell you that it's definitely something that is not right. It is definitely not something that God has created with people to be having a mental defect, if you will, about money. It is learned behavior. So in some respects, is it even a mental health type of thing? I get the connotation. Or is it like you alluded to, just a matter of education ? Or is it just a matter of you just doing what you want to do? See, I'm big at not identifying something in a clinical term that's just regular and straight up. You're just doing what you want to do. I don't know why you're just doing what you want to do, but you're just doing what you want to do. And that's why this situation is where it is in her life or in his life. And so the other thing I'll throw out there is that it's a lot going on in the world and in people's lives, especially within the lives of the church. And one reason why a lot of people are in the situation that winds up becoming categorized, if you will, as quote unquote a mental defect in regards to their financial statuses or what we say PRF profile, a lot of times don't have the means, the ability, the environment is not safe at church. The people who we sit and we worship with week after week, we serve with on boards and committees, we help raise money for the church and all this other stuff, are the same people that we can't even go to. collectively, in a very widespread sense, I say that and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. So if there's a responsibility that I can see that is also present where, and this is the essence of what we do with PRF, you know, helping to create that environment so that people can talk about these things. We get into a dialogue and move to some practical application by the Spirit of God leading us and you, right, the people who are listening or engaging with us. When you don't have any help, easy to get into a credit rut, Kimberly. It really is. When you feel like you don't have any help, you know, so that's the other side of that coin. You know, you were talking about the decisions and choices that you were making. Well, I parsed that to say there's some people that they still have made a decision and made certain credit choices, but they felt like they didn't have any other way to do it.
Yeah.
There's people that use credit cards to pay light bills. How do they do that? Well, you don't charge your light bill. You take money off the credit card, and then you take it to the light bill place. That's how they do it. They get a cash advance, and then they take it to the light bill place. And so nobody really understands or really can see that that person is having a problem in their personal finances, since we're speaking just on that. They don't see that. They don't see it because the lights are not out. But lo and behold, when the lights go out, lo and behold, when there's no more, when that credit limit has reached its max, and then they got to come. It does something to people to have to deal with the pride and the shame and the guilt and knowing you're going to talk about me and all these other things. And some of these things are, talking about mental health, some of these things are made up in people's minds. It's just like in Numbers chapter 12. When the 12 spies went out and they came back and 10 of them came back and was like, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes, in their sight. Really? Who told you that? How are you taking this as how they're looking at you? Right? Numbers chapter 13.
Yeah.
Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Another translation said we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And that's what they thought too, is what they said. How do you know what they thought? They didn't even have a conversation with them. They didn't even have conversation with the inhabitants of Canaan, but yet they said they're looking at us like grasshoppers. So a lot of this comes from how people perceiving things in the mind, but how people perceive things in the mind is based upon how people see things out here in the world. So if you hear me talking from the pulpit down, anybody who, listen, I've heard it. The reason they're in that situation is because they don't pay tithes. Really? So what about the people who do pay tithes? And I don't like that word pay. That's, you know, we don't talk about paying tithes, but that's what people use. So what about the people who are paying tithes and still going through the same thing? So if it really was about that, then what you're saying, that something else must be wrong. And so now let's get to the bottom line, because it's not what you're trying to make it out to be. But that person who said that, the reason, trust me, this is a pastor, the reason that they're going through their struggles because they don't pay tithes. But you never ask them, listen, I know you pay tithes. Okay, you don't pay tithes. Why don't you pay tithes? Well, look, Pastor, I barely got enough money to get the gas. I know folk trust me, you'd be surprised that the individuals that we have to deal with sometimes, and I'm not saying in a bad way have to deal with, but, you know, that we have to be involved with. I'm at the gas station right now, and I thought gas was cheaper than this. So I got to go find another gas. So, and think about it. The difference in gas prices usually is about 20 cents a gallon. Between, you know, up to 20 cents per gallon in a community, right? It's $2.59 over here. Someplace else it may be $2.74. Another place it may be $2.79 for the same grade. But that may make a difference to somebody who only has $10.
Yeah.
So I just want folks to just, you know, if we're going to talk about this, I want folks to stop acting like they have a total understanding of what's in somebody else's head without even engaging and trying to have the conversation / dialogue or conversation move into a dialogue about why they're in the situation. That's why everybody can't do what we're doing with PRF, Kim. That's why.
Yeah.
Because some folks just want to give folk a fish, and some folks don't even want to give a fish. They want to give them a can of tuna.
Oh, you know, Dr. Dunlap, you said something that is so true to home for me when you said a learned behavior. What I really want to convey is that it was a learned behavior for me. That this was a form, and I call it credit card rich and finances poor, because I could get anything I wanted with these credit cards, and it was a learned behavior that when I needed additional cash, I could pull that cash off that card. And I have made a mortgage payment before with a credit card, so I can totally identify going through that appearance of lack and that being an option at the time.
Oh, man. We have so much to help people with. We really want people to reach out. Really reach out and say, you know what, I just need some help. The beautiful thing about God is if you take one step and God takes one step, God's one step is always bigger than your one step. Always. God doesn't have step. Think about it. He don't have step. He's either going to do something or he's not. So you ain't got to worry about God taking a half step towards you when you take your one step. If he doesn't step, then maybe you need to take two. For somebody else, they may need to take three steps. But even if you take three steps and God takes one step, his one step is still bigger than your three.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I saying? I'm saying without any hesitation or equivocation that a lot of people's situations, a lot of the promises of God or blessings of God, a lot of the benefits that God has stored up waiting for many people, it lies within them putting their hand to the plow. It lies within them doing the things that they need to do to change something about that situation so that transformation can come about. Listen, do y'all realize my name is Nate, right? Nathaniel, mm-hmm. Nathaniel, right? Family call me Nate. A lot of other folks, people call me Nate. But don't you realize that my name is really famous, more famous than it is right now? And the reason that is, especially on this day, is because Tropical Storm Nate is coming towards America.
Yeah.
And Tropical Storm Nate is set to be bound for Florida or hit the U.S. tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. And Tropical Storm or Nate has a projected pathway of coming back up through Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, or Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. It may not do the same. It probably won't do the same type of damage in North Carolina that it possibly could do in Mobile. But at the end of the day, still coming. And so the mind, somebody's mindset should be open right now saying, you know what, I got to get some stuff together and some stuff in order.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get some stuff in order because these things continue to happen. Don't blame nobody. Just look inward. Am I ready? If Tropical Storm Nate comes through and rips my house up, am I ready? Do I have stuff in a way that things are together? You know, we talk about mental health. Mental meaning mind. What is your mind focused on? Let this mind be in you.
Yeah.
In Christ Jesus. Whose mind are we focusing on? If your mind is focused, if you have a mind of Fox, if you have a mind of MSNBC, if you have a mind of Facebook and Twitter, you already 3/4 lost.
Lost.
And you can have that mindset, Kim, and I'm done. You can have that mindset and still be in church every time the church doors is open. You can have that mindset and still get up and preach a gospel sermon on Sunday morning. You can have that mindset and still have the title, the ecclesiastic title of bishop when you have several other bishops that could be underneath your tutelage, if you will. You said you was something rich and you was credit rich,
credit card
poor,
and finance poor.
So why can't it be the same way? You can be anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost and still have jacked up finances.
Mm-hmm.
Still have a mindset
yeah.
that if I'm working every day, I deserve it. Yeah, you still filled with the Spirit when you filled with the Spirit. But ain't none of us filled with the Spirit and operating by the Spirit 24 hours a day. So maybe during a time when somebody's trying to talk to somebody about, hey, you know, maybe you can work on this with your finances or your stewardship or what about how you know, do you have your affairs in order? You got at least some $10,000 worth of life insurance. Tomorrow. I'll get to that. We got to get ready for anniversary. Oh, we got to sell fish at Men's Day, so we can't attend this conference. True story. Okay. So in that moment, that ain't the right spirit, because God is not going to send something that's beneficial for you and you be in the right spirit and you reject what God has sent. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dunlap. I think that this is an opportune time for me to invite our callers to the PRF table. Every Thursday at approximately 8 o'clock, you are welcome to join us right here at Blog Talk Radio, blogtalk.com/PRF table, or you can dial in at 347-215-7934. That's every Thursday at 8 o'clock, where you are able to participate and be interactive with the PRF ministry. Dr. Dunlap, you'll be meeting this Wednesday as well. I know we normally meet on Thursday. You said that we will be meeting Wednesday. Is that the 11th?
Yes, ma'am. We have one of our themed guests for this month. Our theme is insurance or God's assurance. And so for this month, we have several very, very well-esteemed individuals in the insurance industry from around the country, primarily on the East Coast. And they will be with us. One of them is Saeed Abdul Kabir out of Willingboro, New Jersey, but he teaches at the university on Thursday evenings. And so I just want the people to hear you. I want you to be able to still bless the people. And so he's agreed to come on another day. And right now that date is set for next Wednesday. But we may change it to the following Wednesday. So all I would say is for everybody listening, just pay attention to prfministry.org and look on our calendar, and you will definitely be able to see it, because we keep our calendar updated with all of the events that we're doing. And, of course, we'll put something out there on Facebook before next Wednesday if that date actually does, in fact, get changed.
Excellent. And, of course, we'll be on our regular scheduled date, which is Thursday the 12th at 8 o'clock.
Correct.
And then every
yes.
first and third Friday of the month, we'll be right here at Your Health is Your Wealth. And that is also at blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. And the number again is 347-215-7934. And we just want to close today with saying thank you, thank you, thank you for participating on today. And remember, coming from the 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts above all that you may prophesy. Thank you so much for participating and joining in with us today. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you.
Yes.
And we thank God for you. Have a great day.
Amen.